This is
For a Better Life.
For a Better Life.
فرمود باعث تو لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق.
The Holy Prophet of Islam says, I have been sent to complete noble manners.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم dear listeners of IRB English Radio. Welcome back to a new episode of For a Better Life. Well, once more, this is Asma at your service. And just for the record, just like always, I have to remind you of the very fact that we all are the same. And in here, I just come to share ideas so that we would have a broader horizon. The pursuit of happiness, Islamic ethics for the modern world. The moral and legal obligation to alleviate or end suffering and hardship helps in understanding the importance of happiness in the Islamic outlook. But the alleviation of suffering and hardship is not the same as the achievement of happiness. Even if the most faithful try their utmost to end hardship, suffering and misery, this does not amount to the realization of happiness. Although God is self-sufficient and described as the giver, happiness is not realized through simple practice, obedience, or some other formalistic, legalistic dynamic. An effective way to begin to understand the Islamic outlook is to ponder the Prophet Muhammad's refrain, "Whoever succeeds in knowing himself will come to know his Lord." One of the consistent themes in the very large literary corpus dealing with the issue of sa'ada or happiness is an inextricable link drawn between knowledge and enlightenment on the one hand and happiness on the other. The more a believer knows about himself, about other people and cultures, and about the world, the more such a believer will be capable of understanding the balance that is necessary in striving for justice with the self and others. Indeed, the struggle to learn and to achieve self-knowledge and knowledge of the other is labeled by the Prophet as the highest and most challenging form of jihad. The Holy Book of Quran describes those who succeed in understanding the balance and in achieving enlightenment as existing in a true state of happiness. They are in a state of harmony and peace with themselves, creation, and God. This is a state of blissful tranquility, equilibrium, and ultimately peace. In this serene and harmonious state, enlightened believers enjoy a special relationship with God. The Quran describes them as people who come to enjoy a complete sense of fulfillment. They trust God and God trusts them. They love God and God loves them. The state of enlightenment and happiness that they enjoy pervades every aspect of their being to the point that the Quran describes their blissful happiness as manifesting on their joyous and luminous faces. They tread the earth with their inner light between the palms of their hands, which most scholars agree is a symbolic reference to attainment of the divine grace of wisdom. The themes of knowledge, enlightenment, balance, peace, and tranquility are central to the Islamic theology of happiness.
Your mercy, your love is all I need.
Your love is all I need.
All I need.
Your love is all I need.
All I need.
Your love is all I need.
All I need.
Your love is all I need.
Oh.
All I need to be all
so
I can
be,
and I know that you see how much you mean to me. 'Cause your love is all I need to be all I can be, and I know that you see how much you mean to me. 'Cause your love is all I need.
Yes, welcome back. You are listening to For a Better Life. Well, sometimes we describe happiness in different ways. Like the way I'm going to define happiness prosperity is going to be, happiness or prosperity is for sure different from the way you, every single one of you, is going to define it. In this excerpt, we just went through too much about how the Islamic theology looks at happiness. The very highlighted part of this excerpt that just attracted my attention was the part in which talked about the people who would attain salvation, as the verses of the Holy Book of Quran says, they are satisfied with Allah and Allah is satisfied with them. They love Him and He loves them. So this is the utmost of happiness any Muslim could wish for. Like, I think this is the goal of our existence. This is the essence of all these drudgery that we're going through in this world. Actually, maybe I'm just exaggerating a bit, because, you know, life is a mixture of both. Like, you have happiness and you have sadness. So if we put this aside, this was just a side note to what I was just saying, I would say that the ultimate goal of our existence is to be a real obedient in a way that not only you would find prosperity and happiness in this world, but also you can have it as a reward in the hereafter. And how is the reward? The reward is manifested in this way, that both the obedient and the Lord are satisfied with each other. Like, is there any more interesting and fascinating idea other than this, when you would feel the satisfaction with your own Lord? Honestly speaking, there is no one who could say there is, because this, as I just mentioned, this idea of satisfaction between the Lord and the obedient is the ultimate goal of our existence. And how is it achieved? How can we achieve this satisfaction? If I go and pop up this topic among my classmates or friends at university, maybe the replies I could get for happiness are more materialistic than what we think about. Like, what I mean by my friends, I mean like us as ordinary people. To us, happiness is something related to the amount of facilities we have, to the amount of travels I go to the amount of money I have, to the amount of literal happiness I could get in my life. How can I get those? According to me, as this real person in this real life, in this mundane, ordinary life, well, I just mentioned the ways. Like, to have everything as in the materialistic form and having a fun, too much of fun. This is going to describe happiness to me. The happiness and the prosperity and the salvation that has been defined by the Holy Book of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam is totally a different thing. The feeling of peace you might have in your life, that is the contentment you might have in your heart, and that is the satisfaction you would actually build in yourself and in the way you think about the relationship that you have with your own Lord. If you experience that peaceful moment in which you recognize how much satisfaction you have with your own Lord and how strong is the link you two share with each other, then you would understand that there's nothing that could be compared to it. Like, if we think about this stuff more and more, and if we come to apply them in our lives, everything is going to be pretty much easier. If I understand that I'm not alone, and the one who's my Lord, the one who is the owner of the entire world, is by my side, and He's going to help me all the time, and He would never let me fall, or even if I fall, He's going to just hold me back, these are the things and ideas and feelings that are going to help me so much in developing myself more and more into a better version of myself, and also in going through all the difficulties that might occur in my life. So, yeah, this was all. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Until another session, I just bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Every grain of sand in every desert land, he knows. Every shade of palm, every closed hand, he knows. Every sparkling tear on every eyelash, he knows. Every thought I have and every word I share.